The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
A conference will take place tomorrow in Dublin to discuss the Gender Recognition Act, which was passed in 2015, and its potential impact on Irish society. And I'm joined now by one of the speakers at the event, Helen Joyce, author of Trans, Gender Identity and the New Battle for Women's Rights, and Director of Advocacy at Sex Matters. Helen, good evening to you. Firstly, tell us a little bit about the conference taking place tomorrow.
So it's really a conference organised around the fact that it's just over 10 years since Ireland decided a quite radical move that not many people even know about 10 years later, which is to redefine what it means to be male or female, to be a man or a woman in Irish law, and to make that really a matter of self-identification and not actually your biology as recognised at birth. So most Irish people probably still don't know that you can fill in a form, get it witnessed by a solicitor, send it off without even a fee, and the government will send you back a birth cert that says that you are the opposite sex, that you always were the opposite sex to the sex you are. And this is nothing to do with getting a doctor's cert or anything like that. It's not about surgery. It's not about hormones. It's just about what you say you are. And as I say, most people don't know this, so it looks like it doesn't make much difference. But actually, we've seen some really unpleasant things happening as a result. For example, a very violent man who has committed serious crimes against women, including rape, being held as if he is a woman in the women's jail. So we're really talking about this societal change, this legal change that, as I say, most people don't know about, and what the impact is.
Okay. That law that was brought in 2015 under the auspices of marriage equality, you would be quite right in saying I think a lot of people don't know about it because it wasn't subject to much scrutiny at the time. However, it was brought in under the sort of the auspices of live and let live, be kind, those types of things. And many people will say, the case that you mention, and there have been cases like that, obviously, that those are extreme cases, but that, you know, hard cases make bad laws, and that this is an inclusive bill, and this is a bill about, I suppose, allowing people to live, you know, in sort of freedom and at liberty to express themselves whatever way they want.
Sure, people can express themselves however they want. I'm a big supporter of freedom of belief, freedom of speech, freedom of expression. There's nothing stopping a man from changing his name, changing his clothes, changing his hairstyle, believing what he likes about himself, saying what he likes about himself. But once you impose that on other people, then you're the one who's against freedom of speech and belief. And whenever I hear the words inclusive and kind, I always wonder who's being included and who's got to be kind. Because what we're seeing is that it's men who are being included in places that women need men to stay out of for our privacy, safety and dignity. And it's women who are expected to be kind, even at their own detriment.
Okay. So from what you're saying, the rights of women and the rights of trans people, sometimes they are in conflict. And do you believe that the rights of women have been subjugated to the rights of trans people?
I think that's unarguable. I mean, another place we see this is in sport. Women can't have fair sport if male people are allowed to compete as if they are female. You have to have separate sports for women because women's bodies are different from men. Our bodies were designed by evolution to be able to bear children, and that comes with a cost in terms of size, speed, stamina, strength. And so, you know, women routinely are, like the best women in the world, are outperformed in things like running time, in how much they can weightlift, by even under 18 boys. That happens all the time. So if you want women to be recognised as having, you know, the half of humanity that is female, to be able to have fair sports, you need to keep male people out. But if men can identify as women and get into women's sports, which we've seen, then women lose out.
Okay. You keep referring to them as male people. I'm taking from that that you do not believe that trans women are women.
That's correct, yes. A trans woman is a shorthand for a man who identifies as a woman. They would say that their identity trumps the biological reality. I and most people, as we know from surveys in country after country, don't take this position. Most people accept that human beings are mammals like all other mammals and we can't change sex.
There's been huge debate about this, obviously, in the UK and in the recent wake of the Supreme Court decision in the UK. Biological sex has been reasserted as I suppose, trumping gender ideology or gender identity in terms of women's protected spaces and those types of things. We appear to be in a different space here in Ireland. First of all, the debate doesn't happen as openly or certainly as readily. In fact, I think it's about 2 years ago, our Taoiseach here said that we don't want to import these types of contentious debates to Ireland. What do you say to people who say that we're rubbing along here in Ireland perfectly happily and that this isn't an issue at all and making it one or dragging Ireland into culture wars is a bad idea?
What happened in Ireland was that this happened without any scrutiny. It was a legal change that most people didn't understand. I mean, I've talked to legislators since then who said that they had no idea that this would be the impact. They just thought it was a piece of paper. They thought they were just being kind, as you say. It didn't occur to them that giving a man the status of being a woman would mean things for women, like that man could come into places or get into sports.
And
or
is
whatever,
that because there was a lack of debate, that none of these issues were teased out as you would see it?
Absolutely. And part of that is because, you know, of all the culture war issues, this is the one that you're really not meant to speak about. It's the one that you get called a bigot for just saying. So Irish people are good at kind of getting along and being quiet. And, you know, it's a small country. Everybody knows everybody. And our politics have gone one particular way, which is to be, you know, very much looking towards what American multinationals think, you know, what's thought in Brussels. And that's places where this ideology is pushed. The UK, I guess it's bigger, was easier to organise. It was 2015 when gender self-ID was brought in here, and it was 2018 when there was the suggestion to bring it in the UK. And by then, people, feminists mostly, in the UK had a chance to look at what had happened in American states where this had come in, and they said no thank you and organised. I think it happened in Ireland under cover of night, and it was already a done deal before anyone could look at it.
Do you think many people are either afraid to involve themselves in this debate or just think it's too complex or perhaps too contentious? You hear relatively little spoken about this here in Ireland, despite the fact that globally it is a large issue in terms of debate and argument, particularly online.
I often wonder about that. I think one of the reasons is Irish people are quite small-c conservative, you know, as in things don't change so fast here in people's lives. So as I say, most people don't even know about it. When I come home and I say to people, because obviously I live in the UK now, when I come home and I say to people, did you know that you can change the sex on your birth cert by just sending off a form? They think I must be completely bonkers because they think this idea is so mad that it cannot possibly be true. And that's one of the reasons people don't talk about it. Not only do they not know it's happened, but they also think it can't possibly have happened. No government could possibly have done something so bizarre.
And Helen, what do you say to somebody who says, well, what about the trans woman, the person who identifies from male to female, who feels intimidated in the male bathroom or in the male changing rooms and fears for maybe their own safety? What do you say to somebody who makes that argument?
Yeah, I understand that. I really do. I mean, if a man dresses unusually, sometimes other men are rather unpleasant to him. I don't think that we can fix that problem by putting women at risk. And you do put women at risk if you say that any man who says he's a woman can come into women's spaces. That's not a point actually about trans women particularly. It's just a point about men. If you have gender self-ID, I can't tell by looking which men think of themselves as women and which don't. So if you open the door of women's spaces to any few men, you open them to all men who want to come in. I think third spaces is the answer.
Can I just ask you lastly about your book, Trans, Gender Identity and the New Battle for Women's Rights. You wrote that, and that came out at a time when the debate, particularly on platforms like X, about trans issues had reached a sort of a febrile fever pitch, really. I think most people would have avoided saying a word. I think the majority of people would have avoided saying a word about trans issues because of the level of abuse and vitriol and, you know, aggression that would have been met. An unusual decision, I would suggest, to write that book and put yourself right at the heart of all of this. What made you do it?
I'll just say it wasn't on X this debate was happening, because back in the old days before Elon Musk bought it, if you said trans women aren't women, you lost your Twitter account straight away. But I know what you mean. There was a lot of vitriol around the place. I'd just answer I'm a journalist. It was obviously a huge story and nobody else was talking about it. And I thought we were meant to run towards the news, not away. It was as simple as that.
And maybe lastly, obviously, there has been a huge pushback for gender on it's shifting, I think it's fair to say. But there was a huge pushback against gender critical feminists, many of whom were cancelled, some of whom were too big to be cancelled, like J.K. Rowling. But your own personal experience of that, did that How hard was it? And that, did that influence you in any way in all of this?
Not really. And the people closest to me don't have a problem with it. I think the people who find this hardest are those who have it inside their own house. So, for example, their own child disagrees or something like that. I lost a few friends, gained a whole load more. It's extremely interesting. I now work for a UK charity that is, every day when I get up, there's a thousand things to be doing and, to reinvent yourself in your mid-50s like that. And the last thing I'd say is, I do get the occasional nasty message or side eye on the train, but 100 times more, I get people getting onto me and saying, thank you so much for what you're doing. This is so important. This is happening to me at work. This is happening to my child. I was in hospital and my mother, and they tell you these awful, awful stories about how women are losing our rights and we are not able to talk about it. And they say, I can't say it. Thank you that you do.
And that was Helen Joyce there, the author of Trans and indeed the Director of Advocacy for Sex Matters, the charity in the UK. There are still some tickets available to that Gender Recognition Act conference in Dublin tomorrow. I think you can find them online, Shannon, and it's being hosted by Wicklow Women for Women. I think if you Google that they come up, but there are, I believe, some tickets still available.
Mixed views coming in on this from our listeners. Thank you for having Helen on. The Gender Recognition Act was not informed. Women of rights, just as men of rights. Another listener says, great to hear Helen. What she says is common sense, but not everyone agreeing, Ciara.
Yeah, another listener says, I could not disagree more with this guest. Do keep your texts coming in. That's what we want to know. We want to know what you guys think out there today. 087 1400 106.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.